everybody, and welcome to episode 91 of the Tuesday Night Comics podcast. I'm Billy, and with me as always is Dave.
Hey, guys.
And today is Tuesday, September 29th, and we're going to be talking about new comics that are coming out tomorrow, Wednesday, September 30th, as well as a review and a couple of comics. It's one of those rare weeks where Dave and I like actually went out of our way to read the same book, so that's exciting.
Yeah, we haven't done that since, what, like iZombie?
Yeah, that or you know, just our like mutual fascination with multiversity.
Right.
James Robinson's Dong in Airboy.
You mean his Airboy?
Well done. Yeah, but a little news first. Sad to report that Bergen Street Comics, which was one of the coolest comic book stores in New York City, shut its doors yesterday. Monday the 28th was their last day of business. They had a party there on Saturday night. I actually met some people. I was talking to customers online because they had 40% off everything in the store, so that ended up being a very popular sale. And they combined it with giving people free alcohol, which, you know, like, hey, I could use that John Bernardis edition.
No one can use that John Bernardis edition.
Oh, no, it's from his Fantastic Four run. It's gorgeous. I was so tempted to buy it, but there's no way of sneaking that into my apartment right now. We're in like a clutter-free zone right now. There's no way that giant book was going to like go unnoticed.
Yeah, your wife would be like, that's a large book I haven't seen.
Was this here this morning? Yes. It was cool. Sean Murphy was there, as was Michel Fife, the creator of Copra.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. And Sean Murphy had done, he's done signings there before. He was scheduled to do a signing in that part of Brooklyn at the Barnes & Noble at 5 p.m. So I think he just wandered over afterwards. I personally didn't see him there, but I heard a few people saying that they had seen him. And I was talking to Michel for a while, which is always a pleasure. And I talked to some you know, just comic book fans, and I mentioned the podcast to them. So hopefully they're listening. If they are, it was great talking to you guys online. I hope I wasn't too drunk. I make a podcast. but it was funny because there was another guy there who used to make a comic book podcast, and he was like, "But you know, we stopped after a while because we just like had a hard time like scheduling it and." Like, we made a bunch of episodes, but then after a while, you make a bunch of episodes, and it just gets too tough. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, how many episodes did you make? And he was like 24. And then I was like, oh, that's cool. I've been doing, like, a weekly comic book podcast for, you know, almost 2 years now. He's like, well, how many episodes do you have? I was like, 90.
We're almost at 100. We're almost at 100.
It was just funny the way he was like, yeah, you know, once we got to 24, I was like, and I was like... No, I don't know what that's like.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah, but I'm definitely sad to see that store go. But it, you know, it was funny because I was also hanging out with the guys who used to work at St. Mark's Comics earlier in the week. One of the former employees was in town from San Diego. He actually now works for IDW. I'd like to get him on the show one day because he manages the IDW Art Gallery, which is open in San Diego, which
that's really cool.
Like features original art, a lot of like Kevin Eastman stuff, original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles art. Yeah. But so talking to those guys, you know, they were like, oh, where do you buy your comic books now? Because they used to live above their Brooklyn location. And I had a hard time, like part of me was like, digital. And like, I'm not, you know, stealing comics. I'm not like BitTorrenting them.
Right.
I definitely get the feeling that people who work in the retail arm of the physical retail arm of comic books have a stigma against digital comics.
Yeah, you feel like you're cheating on like a girlfriend or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a year ago before Sarah and I got married, we had went to this like street festival on South Street.
Right.
And ran into a couple of the guys who work at the shop that I used to go to, and they were like, hey, Dave,
Atomic City, right?
Yeah, Atomic City. And so, you know, it was definitely like, they're like, oh yeah, you're still reading. I'm like, yeah. Like, oh, do you, one of them was like, do you go to a comic store like around you? And I'm like, no, well, you know, since I've been so busy with the move and stuff, I just kind of been, you know, buying it on the iPad.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, you know, like, so dirty.
And it feels like almost like in a way that's, I didn't know which would be worse because they hate Midtown Comics in that store. And if I told them like I was shopping at the downtown location of Midtown Comics, which is right by my office, I don't know like which would have hurt more, if I'd said that or if I'd said I switched to digital. But that, you know, and the thing is, I don't really shop at that Midtown that often, but and 99% of my purchases these days are digital. So I'm like, yeah. I said, you know, it's tough. You live in a one bedroom apartment and all those comics just take up a lot of space. And a lot of them are just things I read and then I never read again.
Right.
And, you know, for the very rare, like, Edge of Spider-Verse number 2 or Walking Dead number 1 that shoots up dramatically in value, most comics that I feel like I buy for $4, I'd be lucky if I could sell them for a quarter each.
Yeah. We had interviewed somebody a couple weeks ago at work, and she had asked us design wise what we're into, like as far as like AIGA or other associations for graphic designers. And my boss was like, yeah, I don't really do that. And I was like, no, me neither. And she's like, well, what do you guys do like when you're downtime? And I was like, well, currently I'm refinishing my deck, and I just finished a year-long project of making a basement. And then my boss was like, well, when I go home, I watch a 3-year-old to make dinner. And then the other designer is like, I'm a single mom of a 4-year-old. And it was just kind of funny where, like, you know, sometimes, yeah, like, you know, and I'm taking this to the comic book thing where you're like, sometimes you just got to do, you know, you got life to do. And so, like, if it's easy to read comics digitally, that's what you got to do. Cause like I said, I think I've said before, like, you know, if I didn't have the iPad, you know, I don't know how much I would be reading comics, or if I'd just be like maybe borrowing trades from the library or getting trades every once in a while. So, you know, it's really been kind of a blessing. So,
yeah. If digital comics didn't exist, I would most likely still be shopping at the downtown Midtown Comics, just cause it's 10-minute walk from my office. I can go there and still eat lunch. You know, if I shopped at the St. Mark's location that's in the East Village still, just the subway to get there is just a little out of the way. And then it's like, all right, then it's like buy comics or eat lunch today.
Right.
And not because of the cost, though. That cost is getting up there too. I was like, and I was trying to say, I was like, you know, what's nice about digital comics is that they reward me for my procrastination. It's because instead of buying a bunch of books on the same day it comes out for fear of the store selling out and then not reading them for months, I only buy books as I'm reading them. And then, oh, I forgot to read this. I'm catching up on Justice League United. Oh, everything's now $1 cheaper instead of $1 more.
Right. Yes, you're doing the Dave plan of waiting 2 months.
Yeah, and mine isn't intentional. It's just so much to read. So, and then the other big piece of news is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. returns tonight. I'm excited.
Yeah, Inhumans, big this season.
Yeah, Marvel released the first 5 minutes, I believe, of the new episode yesterday. I posted that up on the Tuesday Night Movies Facebook page. You can find that there if you haven't watched it already. And it's kind of weird. Like, I saw a preview of it and Skye is like referring to herself as Daisy. And I'm like, this is odd.
Because
she's gone through like 20 something years of her life with her name being Skye. And now like she finds out like her birth name was Daisy. And she's like, I'm going to go by Daisy again.
Maybe it's kind of like, you know how Inhumans choose new names when they become Inhumans?
Right.
Maybe it's a little bit of a nod to that.
I feel like then it should be Quake, because that's when her powers are.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
But it's like, well, I can make Earthquake, so Daisy.
Right.
It's just odd. I guess it's similar to, you know, Clark Kent also referring to himself as Kal-El. Because he spent most of his young adult life, his childhood and young adult life, not knowing his origins. And then when he found them out, he refers to himself as Kal-El every now and again.
Yeah. So, other TV news is that Vixen is almost done with its digital series. I think it's wrapping up this week. So, like, you'll get her full origin, and then that'll be just in time for Flash and Arrow to start.
And I think
like October 4th or something like that. Not 4th, like probably 8th or something like that next week.
And I'm guessing we're going to get a DVD release of that because it's just long enough to be like a half hour, right? Or is it not even?
Yeah, I guess it would be. I don't know. They were like so short that I was like, ooh, I'm going to wait.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder if it'll be included in like the Flash season 2 or the Arrow season 4 DVD collection.
It might be. That would be nice. That would be a nice add-on.
Speaking of which, I have plenty of TV to watch. I recently came into possession of Gotham season 1, Arrow season 3, iZombie season 1, and Flash season 1, all on Blu-ray and DVD.
Well, I would recommend Flash, then iZombie, then Arrow, and then Gotham.
Yeah, I think that's the order that I would watch those in, too. I really have to catch up on Arrow. I don't think I ever finished the first season of that.
Yeah, the first season's not the best.
Yeah, does the acting get better?
You get a little used to it. I kind of find Stephen Amell not, like, great in the acting department, the Green Arrow.
Right.
Everyone else they fade into like mediocre acting where you're like, they're all right. But the main character, you know, he's sometimes I'm like,
the acting on The Flash is much better in my opinion.
Yeah. Sarah will come in and roll her eyes at the Arrow, but sit right in for the Flash and not make fun.
Yeah, well, because, you know, Dave, she has a crush on the Flash.
This is true. She's in love with Grant Gustin.
Yeah. I remember, you know, when you told me that, like, he was a musical theater major in college, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. He got a start on Glee. Like,
much like Supergirl.
Yeah. Oh, wait, Supergirl was on Glee, too?
Yeah, I think she was the main character on Glee. Because Sarah's sister's super into Supergirl coming out because she's a big fan of that girl from Glee.
Interesting. I wonder who she was. Now, this is bothering me because I watched Glee for a couple of seasons.
I feel like Caitlin refers to herself as a Gleek. You know,
she probably was still watching it after I thought the show was canceled.
Yeah.
I think she was part of Glee, the new cast, which the original cast members, because they started out as like sophomores and juniors. After they graduated, they brought in some new blood.
I understand the concept. I've seen some poor Saved by the Bell episodes.
you mean Saved by the Bell, the new class?
Right.
Yeah. I would be a Sikh. Is that what you call a Saved by the Bell fan, a Sikh? Yeah.
I don't know what you would call a Saved by the Bell fan. Fans of bad acting, I guess?
What are you talking about, sir? The gem of the 1990s. It's an American treasure. Thank you very much.
It succeeded despite its horrible acting, I think.
What? Saved by the Bell?
Yeah.
Dave, what are you talking about? It is still watchable today. It is fantastic. Oh my god, I don't even know who you are anymore. I can't even talk about Saved by the Bell with you. Let's go straight into the 20. What are you buying at the comic book store this week?
Wait, before we get into the 20, I just want to tell everybody.
Look, if you're gonna insult Lisa Turtle, I don't want to hear it.
I feel like the worst actor might have been Jesse Spano.
I'll agree with you on that one. But she's so excited, so scared.
And I feel like AC Slater was like, you know, up there. But I also feel like it was like the bad acting that they were directed towards, much like I remember seeing like ABC Family, or no, was like Disney Channel, like live action stuff, like the Raven Simone show.
Okay, that's a Raven.
Yes, yes, yes. So like, if you ever see any of those, like they are definitely directed to overact.
Right.
And I think the Saved by the Bell cast was directed that way as well.
Yeah, I don't think it was bad acting. Like, you know, you don't watch Saved by the Bell looking for Shakespeare.
Well, it is bad acting, but I think it was on purpose. You know, like, or it's bad directing, maybe.
Okay.
Bad act.
Yeah, you know, no, it's an American treasure. Insulting Saved by the Bell is like insulting Police Academy. It will not be done in my presence.
I mean, I love Saved by the Bell, but I'll call bad acting when there's bad acting.
Now, I get that, like, that initial season when it was Good Morning, Miss Bliss. Like, yeah, those kids were all duds. But once it became into its own with, like, Mr. Belding and Kelly Kapowski, come on.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
I loved Saved by the Bell.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen is America's sweetheart.
Yeah.
All right. So if you haven't listened to this show before, every week we do a section called The 20, where we give our picks for the best new comics coming out, the ones that are getting our money. But we keep ourselves to a $20 budget, which is increasingly hard in these days of $4 and $5 comic books. Speaking of $5 comics, if you want to have only buy four comics tomorrow, there's a bunch of DC annuals coming out all at $5 a piece.
Yeah, we're in the fifth week here.
Ah, gotcha. It was a tough coming up with like $20 worth of books.
Yeah, I've like stopped trying to come up with 20 because like my weeks are so like off balance.
That is true. Like you don't have a week where you're like, oh, I'm only getting like 2 books this week. And then you're like, okay, I only bought 2 books this week, so I'm going to buy this like 6th book this week.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I'm almost $30 this week. Yeah. But then the week prior would be like 8 or 10.
I'm an even $20 this week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What are they?
Well, I'll start out right away with Archie number 3 by Mark Waid and Fiona Staples. Who knew I would be this excited about an Archie comic, you know, since like Afterlife with Archie. But Mark Waid and Fiona Staples' take on the Archie universe has just been so refreshing that I'm loving every issue of this. This is, in my opinion, what that Mark Millar, Terry Dodson, like...
That Aunt May...
Like the pre-Aunt May, pre-Uncle Ben book was supposed to be. I don't remember what the comic was called.
Trouble, right?
Trouble, yeah. I was like, Wanted? No, that's a different Mark Millar comic. Trouble. I feel like this Archie book is what Trouble would have been with better writing and a better plot.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah. But I won't go so far to say better art because I love Terriet Dodson as much as I love Fiona Staples. And now the next book, well, we're going to jump over to DC. The only main universe DC book I'm picking up this week is Justice League number 44 by Jeff Johns and Jason Fabok. Another $4 comic. The Dark Side War continues. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, exactly. And... Yeah, I'm excited for it. Are you going to buy all the, like, there's going to be, like, a month where there's, like, a bunch of one-shots. Are you going to grab all those guys?
I probably will not. What about you?
I probably will.
Okay, interesting. I find a lot of those things to be hit or miss. Like, I think Blackest Night is DC's best crossover in probably, like, 10 years. But if you read Blackest Night, Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps. And then when you start venturing out into the other books, like it went downhill really quickly.
Like, oh, really? I felt like they were all fairly strong.
Okay. I didn't like the tie-ins as much as I liked the main series. Like they just took away from me.
As far as like, you know, like they did like the JSA miniseries.
Right.
I feel like a lot of the writers who wrote those miniseries were kind of somewhat close writing partners ish to Jeff Johns.
That's a good point.
So like James Robinson doing the JSA Blackest Night, I was enjoying that more than the actual JSA series that was going on at the time.
Oh wow, okay. Yeah, I for some reason I just couldn't get into that. That and the like the Superman one. Flashpoint, I had the opposite thing happen though, where I liked the Batman tie-in so much more than the actual Flashpoint miniseries.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was probably the best of the tie-ins, I think.
Yeah.
I like the Frankenstein tie-in from Flashpoint too. I think when you have them separate from the series, those like the miniseries, kind of like Secret Wars is doing now, you really do get a nice story out of it, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, if I didn't actually know about these one shots that are coming out for Dark Side War, I'll probably cherry pick them like based on the creative teams,
right?
And definitely not read all of them, just because of time and money. And then then I'm going to jump down to Marvel for two Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comics. We got the regular Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. series, issue number 10 comes out. Written by Mark Waid, who's also writing Archie this week, and art by Javier Pulido, who I believe did the art on Charles Soule's She-Hulk series, which I lamented as being canceled before its time. Howard the Duck is guest starring in this. I've been a Howard the Duck fan since around the time the movie came out, when I was just, you know, a youngster in the 1980s. And I think about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic, it's really good. The first four issues are now on Marvel Unlimited, the digital app. They just added issue 4 this week. So if people haven't checked out this series, they definitely should, especially if they're fans of the TV show, because they're just basically bringing the TV show team into the Marvel universe. And then the other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic is Cavalry Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 50th Anniversary number 1. The S.H.I.E.L.D. 50th Anniversary comics have the most ridiculous titles because they're just impossibly long to say. This is written by Jody Hauser, who I'm not familiar with. Art by Luke Ross and Dale Keown. So this is going to focus on Melinda May, whose nickname is the Cavalry. And that was how she got that name was explained in a really good episode of season 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And so this goes more into May as a character. And I haven't been buying all of these Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 50th anniversary specials. I just like, and not only that, but I'd like to point out how funny it is, like what an event they're making of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s 50th anniversary. Like before the Iron Man movies, like no one would have cared that it was S.H.I.E.L.D.'s 50th anniversary. There was no S.H.I.E.L.D. 25th anniversary event. There was no S.H.I.E.L.D. 30th or 40th anniversary event. Like,
right, right.
Like, oh, S.H.I.E.L.D. is turning 50. And I know a guy on Facebook who keeps changing his profile picture to like different images of Nick Fury and like S.H.I.E.L.D. history stuff. Cause he's like, oh, it's S.H.I.E.L.D.'s 50th anniversary. And I'm, you know, and I'm doing that. He actually writes for Comic Book Resources, a really good writer. But it's just so funny that like people care again. Like I feel like people care more about S.H.I.E.L.D. now than they ever did. Even back when like Starenko was on the book.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that's kind of what the benefit of the TV and movies do.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, people care about Iron Man way more now than they did prior to the Iron Man movies.
Oh yeah. He was definitely like a B-list character as far as household recognition was concerned before the movies came out.
Right, right.
And then finally, I don't know if I'm actually going to pick up this book, but I did want to round it out to $20. And I'm just excited that Sandman Overture number 6 by Neil Gaiman and J.H. Williams is finally out. It's the final issue. I have not been buying this in single issues because they've been so slow to come out.
Yeah, neither have I. I'm glad I haven't. And I'm super excited for this to be collected. And I'm guessing it's going to be collected soon.
The collection comes out on November 10th.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And
in time for Christmas.
Exactly. So put that on your Elster list.
Yeah.
And that's it for me. That's $20 right there.
Well, I, like you, I'm going to grab Justice League number 44 and Archie number 3. Mm. Both of those books are awesome. And the other book, I'm rounding out my 20 out of 12. and that is the other comic I am purchasing is Aquaman number 44 by Cullen Bunn and Trevor McCarthy. Great book. I just read Aquaman number 42 this week. And that was like the first appearance of Tempest or Garth in post New 52 rather. And he, it's kind of, this is all looking really cool. I was unsure of it because I was like, Mera, Aquaman not liking each other, and she right. wants to kill him. And now there's like, you're finding more and more out about the past and what has gone in between when you last saw Aquaman and when you see him now. And it's a really cool book, and I definitely suggest people check it out.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, yeah. You've been raving about this Aquaman comic, you know, on a regular basis for some time now.
I mean, I really think that DC has been doing a great job of putting solid teams on it, you know, starting with Jeff Johns and right. Ivan Reis, you know, and then they went to Jeff Parker and Paul Pelletier.
Yes.
Yeah. And now it's Cullen Bunn and Trevor McCarthy, and it's great. And he's developing like a bit of an Aquaman's rogues gallery in this, and he's playing off of the trench that we saw in Jeff Johns' run and all of the, you know, different the hierarchy of the past emperors and kings and queens of Atlantis.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I highly recommend the book. If you haven't read it, start from number one. You'll love every single book.
And speaking of which, you read Aquaman number 42 this week, right?
Yes, yes. That's what I was talking about.
Okay. And so what else did you read this week?
I read Gotham by Midnight number 7 by Ray Fox and Juan E. Ferreira.
Mm-hmm.
Ferreira. And yeah, that was a great book. And you really get to see how the unit that Jim Corrigan is working in was set up by Jim Gordon, and how it's kind of like the X-Files of Gotham Central. and they're being investigated by Internal Affairs, and they're bringing in Kate Spencer, aka Manhunter, as a lawyer to defend them.
Yeah,
so it was a really cool issue, some great art, some really, really, really cool stuff being done by Juan E. Ferreira here. I'm butchering your last name. I'm so sorry. But it totally gives me, it totally reminds me of Will Eisner stuff in certain ways, and how he uses buildings and stuff. Mm. And that's really cool. I also read Justice League 3001 number 2 by J.M. DeMatteis and Keith Giffen, with art by Howard Porter. And that book introduces, I read number 2, which introduces Supergirl.
Oh, cool.
And Supergirl is definitely, you know, the nicest person in this book.
That's an easy title to, you know, claim.
Right. And it looks like she might take over as team leader.
Oh, nice.
Accidentally. but it was a great read. As always, I got a couple chuckles out of it and really enjoyed it. I also read Harley Quinn and Power Girl number 2. It was written by Amanda Connor, Justin Gray, and Jimmy Palmiotti. It had art by Stefan Rue, and it was colored by Paul Mounts. And this book was okay. I know it's played for laughs, but sometimes it's just, I don't know, maybe too many cooks in that writer's kitchen?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was good. It takes place in between panels of Harley Quinn number like 10 and 11 or something, which Power Girl guest starred in, but it's okay. other than that, I read The Crime Bible, The Five Lessons of Blood, written by Greg Rucka, and each book was drawn by a different person. The first one, Tom Mandrake, then Jesus Saez, Matthew Clark, Diego Olmos, and Manuel Garcia.
And did this come out fairly recently, or is this an old comic?
This is an old comic. This came out right after Infinite, or right after the 52 weekly series.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to say, I feel like he's been doing this crime Bible stuff since like around the time of 52.
Yeah, yeah, so it was right after that, and it focuses on The Question and her investigation into the crime religion that she was following in 52, and I've never read it, and I always wanted to read it, and it was a great read, and I kind of feel like you would need to read 52 before you read this. And I think, you know, on the dress of the book, it was like 52 aftermath, you know?
Yeah. And then, and this storyline is kind of like, they then let him have a, like a mini series with each new event. I feel like that, you know, there was a Final Crisis mini series that kind of nothing to do with Final Crisis, but allowed Greg Rucka to continue on with this story.
Right, yeah, Final Crisis Revelations is kind of where this goes from, because at the end of the series, spoilers, Renee Montoya, aka The Question, becomes the leader of the crime religion, or the people who worship Cain. And
by Cain, not Spider-Man clone, right?
No, like of Cain and Abel.
Ah, gotcha. Not of Cain and Ben Reilly.
Yeah, yeah. And so it kind of comes to a head a little bit in Final Crisis, which I read that miniseries. And I think that after that, it goes on into Batwoman in Detective Comics.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, and that is like a cool thing if you're following that series, but I remember trying to like understand some of the Batwoman stuff as it was coming out, that Detective Comics run, and I was like, I feel like I've missed a lot of books, because like I enjoyed the crime Bible stuff in 52, but I didn't read anything that followed after that.
Yeah, so I basically after that it was only this miniseries and the Final Crisis Revelations.
Gotcha.
But I think I'm going to check out that Batwoman series in Detective Comics pretty soon. So I wanted to get caught up on some of Greg Rucka's writing of these characters.
Okay. And so I read Future's End Volume 3, finally done with Future's End. And all I can say is I'm glad it's over. I am so happy I did not pay for this book on a weekly basis. I'm not a fan of it. I took it out from the library, so I read all three volumes for free. And it just seems, I don't know, just so repetitive. And then the ending was such a letdown.
Yeah, I feel like the ending was a super letdown. And I feel like I really enjoyed the first part of the series.
Yes.
The middle kind of was treading water a lot.
Yeah.
And I thought at the beginning it had like really great promise. I was like, this could be better than 52.
It could have been a great 12-issue miniseries.
I think if they compressed it to what the story actually needed,
right?
I think it would have been perfect. But yeah, the beginning had great promise, the middle it treaded water, and then the end fell flat because it was just like set up for convergence in a really weird way.
Yeah, And the way they defeat Brainiac, I was like, oh, so convergence actually doesn't happen then. it was just weird. Like it was not as weird as, you know, the 52 countdown to Final Crisis and then Final Crisis, like where those are just two creative teams that had nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it seems similar to that, where it was obvious, like, though, which parts Dan Jurgens was writing in Future's End, because I felt like that was the stuff that was leading towards convergence.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but yeah, I was surprised how much of a letdown it was. I when the Zero issue came out on Free Comic Book Day a couple of years ago, I enjoyed it tremendously. So I really was surprised how much I did not enjoy the actual series.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, like I said, it really, those first few issues were great, I thought.
Yeah. Now, Restoring My Faith in Humanity is the book that we both read this week, and that is Birthright, Volume 1. I loved this. This is Volume 1, Homecoming by Joshua Williams, with art by Andre Bresson and Adriano Lucas. Like, gorgeous comic.
Yeah, Joshua Williamson.
Yeah, what did I say?
Williams.
Oh, yeah, no, that's somebody else. John Williams.
The composer?
Yes, yes.
Or the country singer?
Both. There's a John Williams joint. it was so good, Dave. Like, I don't want to spoil anything because a lot of the things that make the first volume of Birthright great are the twists and turns that the story takes. Like, there are some major twists there. Like, when we agreed to read it, I was like, okay, this is going to be like Chronicles of Narnia meets Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings. And it just threw me for a loop completely. Like, when you get to that first major twist in the book.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like if anybody likes the twists in Walking Dead,
yeah,
they would like this. And as I was reading this, it's under the same imprint, right? Skybound, which is what's his name's imprint?
Robert Kirkman.
Thank you. And if you like Robert Kirkman stuff, you would totally love this just because of the twists and the turns and the flashbacks, which then gives you more twists. And it's great. It's not what I expected when I read it.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be just a much more straightforward, like, call to adventure comic where this kid is learning how to become the hero of, you know, I forget the name of the world, but it's so much more than that. And what I really liked about the book too is that it didn't just forget about his family at home. Like, that a lot of the story is spent on, like, them trying to find him after he disappears into this, you know, fantasy world. And, like, what happens to his parents' marriage and, you know, his brother at school and stuff like that. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was really well written. The trade is great because it takes out, like, any... I didn't know where one issue ended and one issue began. And I just kept reading. And I think I read it all... almost in one night.
Me too. I read it all in one sitting. And when I got to the final page of the trade, I was like, oh, okay, this is a cliffhanger. This must be the end of the second issue. But in fact, it was the end of the last issue in the trade. And it was obvious, I think, you know, where the end of the first issue was. But then after that, like, I did not notice where one issue ended and another issue began.
Yeah, me either. And
and I had no idea how many issues were in the book, like, when I got to the end of it. I was like, how many comics was that? It turned out it was 5 comics, but it read so seamlessly.
Yeah, and the art's gorgeous.
Yes.
He does some really interesting things with lighting.
Yeah.
And I wonder what his inspiration as of other artists did he take from when he was drawing the book.
Yeah, I definitely got some Terry Dodson influence, especially in the first few pages of the first issue, just the way the parents are drawn. But maybe I'm just reading, you know, into that myself.
No, that might be right. I was looking at his shadows and how he creates a somewhat of like a halo around people before he does his shadows. And I don't know. Like, there's that part of an object that will, you know, that reflects it. But that doesn't really happen in real life.
Right.
Like, I feel like when you pull that off and it looks seamless, like, here's to you, because I don't know how to do that. And that looked, and he did a great job at that. And I enjoy when artists do that and it looks good.
Yeah, like when Mikey returns and he's being interrogated in the police room, you have that effect because the back wall is just completely in shadow, but he's totally in light, and you do get like this grayish halo effect around him, separating him from the wall, and it does add like a lot of depth of field too, which is really cool.
And it could be like the light bouncing off the person, and I don't know, it's a cool effect that when done right is really nice, and I think it's done right in this comic.
Yeah, so when I finished this, I immediately downloaded Volume 2, and just because I didn't get a chance to read it, but I was just so excited, I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna dive right into this. And then it turned out I had to like take care of some errands, but I have Volume 2, Call to Adventure, on my iPad, so I'll be reading that for next week.
Me too. I can't wait to dive into it.
Yeah, so in the case of read this, not that, read Birthright Volume 1, do not read Futures End Volume 3. It's funny, I finished Futures End Volume 3 on the subway while I was going to meet the St. Mark's guys at a bar. And somebody was like, oh, you know, put your bag down when I got to the bar. And I was like, ah, I'm afraid somebody will walk off with it. All I got in here is a really not great comic. So, you know, and some like dirty gym clothes. So, no big deal. If somebody wants to steal this stuff, that's on them.
That's on you guys.
Yeah. Smelly gym clothes and a smelly story in Futures End.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Birthright, man. I have like if okay, guys, if you like Saga, you should read Birthright. And Walking Dead's a good comparison too. If you like Walking Dead, you should read Birthright. And like if you like Walking Dead and you also like fantasy, you should read Birthright.
Right. If you like that twists and turns type storytelling, I think you'll really enjoy Birthright.
Yeah, if you like the twists and turns of an M. Night Shyamalan movie, but do not like the bad writing of an M. Night Shyamalan movie, you will like Birthright.
Oh, M. Night.
Sorry, I know he's you know he's Philly's own. I don't want to I don't want to tear down.
Philly, I don't love you own.
All his movies take place like in and around Philadelphia, don't they?
Yeah. The best movie that he's done recently was that Devil movie. Did you see that?
No.
Well, he didn't write it, but he directed it. And it takes place in Philly, and it's all in an elevator, and one person's the devil.
Oh,
And
cool.
people start dying in the elevator as they're trapped.
Right.
It's so creepy. Check it out. It's
Do you know
really
what it's called?
devil.
Oh, okay. You said that devil movie, so I was like,
Oh, yeah. No, it's called Devil. Yeah.
Devil's Advocate? Which
Devil Wears Prada? Which one
one?
was it?
Help me out, Dave. Yeah, so that's it on reviews for the week. I guess that's it for the week, right?
Yeah. Oh, and guys, my friend who interviewed me on the podcast that we were talking about, maybe I guess like a month ago.
Yeah, you had mentioned this a while back.
Yeah, so he finally put up the interview that he did with me, and I think he's going to be doing it in two parts. But the podcast is called What's Good Philly? My episode's up, episode two. Go check it out. It's pretty funny if I don't say so myself.
Nice. Awesome. And give me that podcast name one more time. What's it called?
What's Good Philly?
What's Good Philly? Cool. I'm going to check that out myself. I did not know about this episode going live until this episode two. That was a weird sentence. Oh, well. And that's the sentence I'm going to end this podcast on. Have an awesome Tuesday night, everybody. We will see you next week. Oh, and next week, NYCC is almost here. If you want to see how you're going to be spending your money, head over to TuesdayNightMovies.com. We've got up the best of the best exclusives of New York Comic Con. That's live right now. And our panel guides for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all the panels and screenings that we think are where you should be spending your time, that will be going up soon, like probably over the next week. And next week, we're going to be talking a lot of pre-NYCC stuff. We got big plans for this convention.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Have a good night, everybody. And again, have an awesome Tuesday night.
Yes, and a Wednesday morning. I hope it's good too.
And a decent Thursday.
If just have a good week. We'll see you next week.
Okay.
All right, leave. Come on.